example is in John 6, verse 42. And they were saying, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, 'I have come down out of heaven'?" You see, here's an illustration. They knew him historically. They could tell you where he lived, and they could name his parents, and they could tell you all about him. But they didn't know him. And that's how many people come to the Bible. That's just an illustration of it. Another illustration is John the Baptist. Now remember, John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus Christ were cousins. And they grew up together. For 30 years, they were together. They were cousins. And yet John confessed in John chapter 1, verses 33 and 34, "I did not know him until the Holy Spirit revealed him." It's possible to grow up for 30 years with someone and not know him. That's John had the external all the time, but he never had the internal until the Holy Spirit showed him. That's just another illustration of the same thing. A third illustration is in Mark chapter 5. Remember the woman who had the disease, the blood disease? And the Bible said the crowd was milling around Christ and they were thronging him. And many people made physical contact with the Lord Jesus. The Bible says that they were crowding and pushing. And they thronged him, they touched him. And then this woman reached out and touched the hem of his garment. Because she reached out in the simplicity of faith and she said, "If I can just touch his garment, I'll be made whole." And then Jesus whipped around and said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples began to dispute with him and said, "How can you say who touched you? Many people touched you." Oh, but not the same way. You see, there's a touching of the external, and there's a touching of the internal. And she touched Christ, really, spiritually. And that's what we're talking about. Many people throng the Bible. I used to get a great thrill when someone would remind me that the Bible is the bestseller. That doesn't thrill me anymore. So what if it's a bestseller? People are thronging to it, but they're not touching it. Well, I think it would thrill me if they were all taught God. Boy, that would thrill my soul. But just the fact that everybody's buying it and putting it in their house and using it as a display and a collector of dust, that doesn't thrill me. Not at all. It just appeals to their own religion. And they think that they're getting closer to God by owning a new Bible or something like that. But here's the illustration that it's not enough to know about the historical Jesus. It's not enough to grow up with him. It's not even enough to touch him, unless you touch him in the Spirit. A fourth illustration is Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24 tells of the post-resurrection appearance of the Lord Jesus as he walked up behind and then with those two disciples on their way to Emmaus. And the thing that's interesting, if you read the context, you'll find that, like the song in the garden, they walked with him and they talked with him. And he told them that they were his own. They knew that. And yet the Bible says their eyes were withheld, that they did not know him. It's not enough to walk with the Lord and to talk with the Lord. Many people walk with God, they follow the Lord. And they pray to God. They walk with him and talk with him, but their eyes are closed. And God had to open their eyes. And the Bible says when he opened their eyes, they knew that it was Christ. The revelation of God. A fifth example of this is in John chapter 8. I'm just illustrating the same point over and over again in order to drive it home. And then we'll pick up some of the other points. John 8:43. Jesus says, "Why do you not understand what I'm saying? It is because you cannot hear my word." Someone said, "Oh, were they all deaf? You cannot hear my word." And then in verse 47, he explains it further. "He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason you do not hear, because you are not of God." And that is an amazing thing. Hearing is more than sound. As far as the sound was concerned, they heard every syllable. They weren't listening to his voice. They heard every word. Yet Jesus categorically denied that they heard anything. He said, you haven't heard a word I said. He said, well, should we hear? We've got ears. But Jesus was saying there's a word behind the words. And there's a voice behind the voice. And there's a communication beyond the letter. And there's light to be found inside the light. It's an amazing truth. No natural man can hear the voice of God. It's a spiritual thing. It's not by the natural ear. It's not by the natural mind. It's not by the natural heart. It's way beyond. And that's what our course has to do with. That's what we're studying. How can I can't do it with my own ears. I can't hear God's voice. I can't do it anyway. How can I get there, inside the Bible? See, that's the message of our course. Beyond the sacred page. People can search the scriptures every day. And they can memorize the very words of the scripture, as many do. And they can relate all of its several parts together so that they'll be able to give an answer to any man that asks them. And they're able to organize and clarify and systematize all the doctrine in the Bible. And yet it's possible that after doing all of that, not in the slightest measure have they been taught of God. See, that's a tragedy. People just crushing or crowding to the Bible, but never getting down inside of here. How do you get in there? See, that's what we're talking about. And that's the message that we're so burdened that we give. I think it can be summarized in the words of 2 Corinthians 5:16. I'll ask you to turn to that because it's a marvelous verse. 2 Corinthians 5:16. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no man according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Look at that phrase. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, that is, we've known about him, the external. We've known according to the flesh. We had outward familiarity with him. We had an external acquaintance with him. We've known according to the flesh. By human inspiration. Someone says, oh, I can identify with the Christ of the New Testament. I can relate to that. He had many experiences like I do. They know him according to the flesh, the carpenter's son, Jesus of Nazareth. But, Paul says, we know him thus no longer. No longer is it enough to know the external. From now on, we're going to know him in a new way. By a revelation from God. No more thronging him, but now touching him. Knowing him in the spirit, being taught of God. Now, if you think I'm spending too much time reviewing, I'm not really apologizing for it. Because this is one of the most basic things we'll ever learn. And we cannot take it for granted that we know. Only a revelation of God is going to get us beyond the page and into the heart of the truth. Right, here's been the scope of our lesson so far. Just like there's an internal truth in the Bible, most people just read the external. They just get the words and the paragraphs and they can put it all together, but they never get the heart. So, man uses this, his mind, rather than his heart. And the problem is, how can I get down inside that book? And how can I get down inside the spirit of man? Because unless you worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, you haven't worshiped the Lord. And so we found this, that it's the Holy Spirit. And he alone, there's no possibility to do it on my own. Only the Holy Spirit can take the heart of this book and give it to you. And only the Holy Spirit can penetrate into the depths of your being. You can't do it on your own because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. It's a liar. And anytime you try to get down inside, whatever your heart tells you will be false. It won't be true. Only the Lord, Hebrews 4:12, dividing between the soul and the spirit. The marrow and is a revealer of the thoughts and intents of my heart. So it's the Holy Spirit that does it. 1 Corinthians 2:10 says, the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. Oh, that's a marvelous verse. Why? The next verse tells us. That he might reveal unto us the things which are freely given to us from God. Isn't that a marvelous thing? The third thing we learned was, not only is there an internal, not only the Holy Spirit alone is the one that's able to penetrate and reach the internal, but we learned another thing. And that is that it's only by the simplicity of faith that I can receive what the Holy Spirit gives. Only God can get inside this book. Only God can get inside my heart. Then what? Have I been taught of God yet? No, not that. Then what God reveals, I must receive by the simplicity of faith. And then finally, and this is what we dealt with last time, we took another step in being taught of God. If I come to the Holy Spirit, if I trust him to open this book, and I trust him to open my heart, and I trust him to bring those two things together so I can receive by the simplicity of faith that revelation he gives, how can I guarantee I'll come? Maybe I won't hunger after the Lord, or thirst, or yearn, or long for him, or desire him. Maybe my heart won't be like the deer that pants after the water brooks, that thirsts for the living God. How can I be guaranteed that I'll come? John 6:44, no man can come to me unless the Father who sent me draw him. And last time you remember, we spent quite a bit of time on how does God draw us? Everyone. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men. How does God draw us? All right, where do we go from here? Now we begin our new material. Am I taught of God yet? The Holy Spirit has taken the heart of the Bible, not just the words, not just the externals. The Holy Spirit has stripped aside all the externals of my own flesh. And Spirit makes contact with Spirit. And I receive a revelation. Not from man, not by flesh and blood, but from God. And I take the simple step of faith. God has drawn me here. He's wooed me, and I've come. And now I take the simple step of faith and I receive the revelation. Am I taught of God? Yes. That's what it means to be taught of God. Those four steps, and you're taught of God. So you say, oh, we're all done with the course. Where do we go from here? I don't think I've ever felt more helpless in teaching any series of Bible studies than I feel helpless in teaching this particular series. And one reason is because I'm trying to teach you something. And I'm trying to say, only God can teach you. And I realize the futility of trying to get into your mind, into your heart, what I'm trying to say. Not only must God be the teacher in this book, but if God doesn't teach you through anything I say or any other human instrument says, you won't be taught. And I'm so afraid that we're going to end up just with the shell, and we don't want that. We've already covered the basic principles of being taught of God. But the how, that's the how. It's always the same, never changes. Every age and every generation, anyone who's ever learned from God has learned this way. There's no other way. Had to come that way. That's how. Now we come to the second part of the series. I don't know how many lessons there'll be in this part. What will he teach? That's how. What? Really, it should be who. What can I expect to come? Now I've come the right way, and I'm trusting only in the Holy Spirit, the indispensable principle. Childlike dependence upon God. I'm not trusting my own mind. I'm not trusting books. I'm not trusting men. I'm not trusting my knowledge of the original languages. I'm not trusting my experience. I'm not trusting my background. I'm not trusting anything but God. And I come. Now what can I expect to happen? Am I going to get a bolt out of the blue? Am I going to get an electric charge up my spinal column? What will happen when I come like this? What will God teach me if I come seeking only the truth? What will I learn? Psalm 25:14 says, the secret of the Lord is for those that fear Him. What is that secret? What can I expect to learn? The secret of the Lord is for those that come this way. John 16:13 says, when the Holy Spirit comes, He'll guide you into all the truth. What can I expect? What is all the truth? Ephesians 4:20-21 says, you did not learn Christ in this way, if indeed you've heard Him and have been taught in Him, just as the truth is in Jesus. What's the truth in Jesus? Before I give you the answer to what you can expect, let me give a little testimony. I remember a few years back when I got so fed up with methods of Bible study. I've been trying every method I could find. Someone says, read the Bible through years. I've tried that. And someone else says, try to find all the commands you could find and underline them in red and underline all the promises in yellow and memorize the key verse and then try to write a summary of the chapter. And all, I've tried every method you could believe. And I was just getting frustrated. And I came to the conclusion that if there is a method of Bible study that's going to work, then God must have revealed it in the Bible someplace. Not only is the message of God, but the means must be of God. So I remember, coming before God and saying, Lord, I'm fed up with man's methods, and I don't have a method that works. And every time I try, the Bible becomes dull and boring and as dry as the dust in the desert. Just powdering them up. And I wanted it to live. I wanted it to be alive. And so I asked the Lord, is there a method in the Bible? I didn't know where I could begin studying, so I looked up verses on the Word, or the Bible, or the Scriptures, because I thought, maybe God tells us what we can look for when we study the Bible. And I looked up so many. And what I did was I studied these verses in their context. And then after doing that, I drew particular questions out of each verse. For example, Hebrews 4:12, it says, the Word of God is quick and sharp and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, going right down into your heart and cutting between the soul and the spirit, between the joints and marrow, and the Word is a revealer of the thoughts and intents of man's heart. And so I formed a question out of that. If God gave His Word to reveal my heart, my thoughts and intents, then I could come to any passage in the Bible and ask, what does this teach me about my heart? About my own motives, about my mind. And then I took other verses, like 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. And in that verse he tells you why he gave the Bible. The Word of God is profitable for doctrine. So I could come to any passage in the Bible and say, what does this teach me about doctrine? The Word is profitable for reproof. So I could come to any passage in the Bible and say, what does this teach me about reproof? And instruction in righteousness. Come to 2 Timothy 3:15. It says, from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. And from that I drew the question, if the holy Scriptures are able to make you wise unto salvation, what does it teach me about salvation? And I remember I formed 9 questions that covered all kinds of love. What does it teach me about my heart? What does it teach me about mission? What does it teach me about salvation? What does it teach me about guidance? What does it teach me about deliverance from sin? And of course the chief one was Luke 24:27. Beginning with Moses and with the prophets, he explained to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. What does it teach me about Jesus? And so I began to take those 9 questions, and I admit to you now, the Bible never became more alive than when I applied that Bible method. For the first time in my life, really, it became a living book. And every twist and turn, I just took those 9 questions and I read the passage and asked, what's it teach me about my heart? What's it teach me about mission? What's it teach me about doctrine, reproof? I never did complete all 9 questions in any passage. I didn't have time. It was so rich. And so many principles were coming and God was opening His Word. And it was really a thrill to my soul. And considered writing a little booklet on God's method of Bible study, you know. I'm glad He delivered me from that. Those questions I had were legitimate because they were drawn from the Bible itself. But I see today as I look back that they were not foundational. They were not foundational. Just another method. It wasn't anything else but another method. It was unique and it was rich and I enjoyed it, but it wasn't foundational. You know why? Because there's not 9 things you have to look for, or 15, or even 2. And this is what I'm going to, what can I expect when I come to this book? What will the Holy Spirit reveal to me? 9 different things? No. You see, I only need 1 thing. We mentioned it before. We're going to mention it again. What will I learn when I'm taught of God? The question is, who will I learn when I'm taught of God? It's a person. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself. God has no desire to teach me anything else except His own Son. That's all I'm going to learn. I'm not going to learn anything else. He only wants me to know Jesus. See how that works? Say, what's the Bible teach me about my heart? No, no. What's it teach me about Jesus? And when I see Jesus as He is, then I'll know all about my heart. When Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, he said, woe is me. I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell among the people of unclean lips. That's the outworking. That's the result. But all you need to see is Jesus. Then you'll see your heart. When you really see Jesus as He is, do you think you'll be weak on salvation? No way. On doctrine? There's only one way to get doctrine. And it isn't by getting doctrine. It's by seeing Jesus. And when you see Jesus, you're going to have good doctrine. And you're going to have all the reproof you need when you see Jesus. And all the instruction and righteousness that you'll ever need when you see the Lord Jesus. You see, there's only one thing behind the shell of the Word. All the letters and all the ink and all the words. Underneath, there's one thing. And it's the Son of God. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to John chapter 6, please, again. This is our key verse for the whole course. John 6, 45. It's written in the prophets, they shall all be taught of God. That was the first half of our course. Here's the second half. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. There's the second half of our course. Jesus is the Word. He's called the Word in John 1. The living Word. And the only thing you'll ever learn from the written Word is how to know the living Word. God longs with an infinite longing to reveal Jesus Christ to your heart. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's the only legitimate purpose of Bible study. God teaches you when you come this way, and we've already discussed how to come, when you come that way, the Holy Spirit will reveal not some new truth, never. He'll reveal Christ in terms of some new truth. But it's the person of His own Son. That's the purpose of your salvation. That's the meaning of life. Not many things, only one. Let me put it all together in one big sentence. What will Christ reveal? What's the purpose? What will the Holy Spirit reveal? Know Christ by the revelation of the Holy Spirit through the Word received by faith. That's what it means to be taught of God. When I come in simple faith and trust the Holy Spirit to get down inside the book, what will I see? Just Jesus. Just the Lord Himself. There's an ocean here, and I feel so unqualified to even begin to set sail on. I know so little of this myself in my own experience. I've only tasted here and there, but oh, it's infinitely rich. Before we actually get into in what ways will He reveal Himself, I'm going to ask you to turn to 2 Corinthians 3. Well, this is a marvelous verse, and it just shows how there aren't many things to do. 2 Corinthians 3, beginning in verse 14. Their minds were hardened, on this very day at the reading of the Old Covenant, the same veil remains unlifted because it's removed in Christ. That means when you read the Bible, there's a veil on the Bible. You don't understand it. But it's removed in Christ. To this day, whenever Moses is read, and Moses stands for the Old Testament, a veil lies over their heart. But whenever a man turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. We are all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. Now that sounds confusing on the surface. Let me illustrate for you. Here's the illustration. Here's a mirror. And when you look into a mirror on the level of earth, what do you expect to see? So you expect to see yourself. You ought to see a reflection, exact reflection of what you are. Whatever you hold in front of the mirror, you ought to see that. But he's changed the image here to give an illustration. He says, when you come this way with an unveiled face, with an unveiled heart, when you come this way, and you look into the mirror, you don't see yourself. You see him, the glory of the Lord. And as you look, you see the glory of the Lord. And all you ever have to do in your Christian life, this greatly simplifies things, is stare in the mirror. Exactly so. You stare in the mirror and you see the glory of the Lord. And as you behold the glory of the Lord, that verse says, you're changed into the same glory. And so you become like what you see. And as this change takes place in your life, you look again. And you see another revelation of the glory of the Lord. And then you're changed into that revelation. From glory to glory. And you look again and you see another revelation as the Holy Spirit shows you more and more and more about Jesus. You just keep looking into the mirror. And then God changes your life and you become like the Lord Jesus. That's a full summary of the Christian life. Not running your head off looking for God. No. Just looking in the mirror and seeing the glory of the Lord. And seeing that glory being changed yourself from glory to glory. Now, let me read the verse again and you follow along. Verse 15. To this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. But whenever a man turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. The saints of the ages have found this is what they sang about, this is what they wrote about, they died for, that Jesus Christ was all in all, that they were complete in Him. That outside of Jesus Christ there is nothing. There's not life, there's not light, there's not sanctification or righteousness or wisdom. He's everything. He's love, and He's joy, and He's peace, and He's deliverance, and He's mercy, and He's grace, and He's life. He fills all, He's in all, and everything fades before Him. Moses and Elijah disappeared, and they see none save Jesus only. He's the center, He's the circumference, He's the center of the center. He's preeminent in all things, He's the head. Paul says, for me to live is Christ. I used to think that God was really concerned to teach me about the church, and really concerned to teach me about the angels, and really concerned to teach me about the gifts of the Spirit, and really concerned to teach me about the future, and concerned to teach me about missions, and about salvation, and about healing, and about faith, and about miracles, and about parables, and about prophecy, and about types, about the Jews. He doesn't care a snap of his fingers to teach you any of that. To him, when I give you the Bible, he's not concerned at all that you know those things. All he wants you to know is his Son.
And the revelation of his son is hidden behind those things which illustrate the great revelation.
Usually we speak in parables to make something clearer to someone. Say, I'll tell you a little story that I'll illustrate to make it clear. If you read the Bible, you'll find out Jesus talked in parables so they wouldn't know. He didn't try to make it clear, he tried to find the issue. He said, I have said it in parables that they that see not might not see. He doesn't want them to see. He only wants them to see the external until they come this way. And when they come this way, he begins to unfold the book. And they see things that angels desire to look into. Alright? This is what we're after. You are created to know God. Not to serve God, to know God. You were redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ to know God. The purpose for your life and the reason you're still here is to know God. And your eternity will be spent knowing God. And that's all God's concerned about. That's all he'll ever teach you from the Bible. And that's why people don't understand the Bible. Because they don't study the Bible to know God. They study the Bible to know theology. They study the Bible to know ecclesiology. They study the Bible to know eschatology. They study the Bible to know all of it. God has given us this book to know him, to know his son. He will not teach you anything else. Now, you might be real clever on the shelf, and you'll be able to go around and quote all this and be able to recite all this and memorize all this and show interrelationships and all. You don't know a thing. What I'm talking about, you don't get by Greek, and you don't get by Hebrew, and you don't get by human commentators, and you don't get by understanding words and adjectives and nouns and pronouns and paragraphs. You don't get it that way. You get it when your heart lays naked before the Holy God. When God gives it to you. And if he doesn't give it to you, you don't get it. There's no human way to get it. It's by the Holy Spirit. And all he'll ever show is Christ. Not a knowledge about him. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about knowing him. Not about him. Not more information about God. But knowing him intimately. A personal acquaintance with the living God. A real involvement with a living person. That person's part of God. See, that's what he's going to do. Well, I hope I've introduced at least my dilemma. How in the world do I communicate this? How can I even begin to show you what aspects of Christ the Holy Spirit's going to reveal when I've seen so frightfully little myself? I haven't even begun to know God. When I'm in heaven 10 billion years, I will have only seen one drop of the great ocean, the shoreless ocean, of what's available in the knowledge of God. If anybody ever thinks that they know anything, they've begun to learn. Well, we ought to take off our shoes. We ought to bow before God. Nobody knows anything about God. We can share the little bit we know. You can tell me what you know, I'll tell you what I know, and together we'll come on to knowing. We don't know him. We haven't begun to know him. So what I'm going to suggest to you, I realize the poverty of my own experience from which I share. You go on a lot further than I'm going. I'm going to seek the Lord and I want to go on more. But I can only suggest certain broad principles and trust that you will be taught of God about these. See, Christ is the hope of glory, but according to this series, he's also the glory we hope for. He's everything. Where do we begin? Well, as we get into some of this, remember now, not up here, we're talking about down in here, knowing the Lord. What will he teach me about Christ? We sang before we started, beyond the sacred page, I seek thee, Lord. See, that's where we're at. That's what we want to get. For the sake of clarity, let me give you a suggested outline. I'll write it on the board. This outline will take you right through what we're going to cover. When I finish the outline, I'll give you the whole thing today, and then week by week we'll take one step. And when I'm done with that, that's it. That's all I have. Maybe next year God will give me something new, but that's the end of the course. And I realize even what I give is going to be skimpy compared to what I know there is. I haven't been able to see it, but I know it's there. So I trust that the little bit I share, he'll be able to use in your life. What will the Holy Spirit teach me about Christ? He will take the titles of Christ that are all through this book and reveal Christ to my soul in terms of those titles. Now, when I finally get to this, we'll take and illustrate it by a few. I looked up the names, topical Bible, the names and titles of Christ. He gives a list. He gives a long list. He mentions 250 different titles of Christ. 250. And I found some he left out. So I don't even know how big the list is. I'm sure there's some in there that are unbelievable. Now watch. Each of these titles, God isn't concerned that you say, oh, I can put all 250 names of Christ in the Bible. He doesn't care about that. Why did he put the titles in the Bible? In order that you might know Christ in terms of that title. It's not enough to say, oh, I know one title. He's the friend of sinners. Has he ever brought it home to your heart in burning reality that he's the friend of sinners? See what I mean by the titles? The Holy Spirit, you come before God, naked, your heart wide open, and God has stripped you down to the Spirit. Then he says, let me introduce you to the friend of sinners. And you come with all of your experiences and the awful need of your heart. And you begin to see, not as man teaches, he's the friend of sinners and he's the good shepherd. No, no. He's the friend of sinners and the Holy Spirit reveals that. Way beyond learning it academically. And I begin to say, oh yes, I've known him as the friend of sinners. He's blotted out my transgressions like a thick cloud. He's removed my iniquities as far as the east is from the west. He's the friend, and I begin to know him in terms of that title. He's the bread of life. It's so easy to say, la, la, la. He's the bread of life. A few words, one sentence, and it's done. Has the Holy Spirit ever revealed to your heart that Jesus is the bread of life? You see what I mean when I say that he'll reveal them through the titles? At least 250 different titles. You know how long it would take you just to know him as the bread of life? And you come before the Lord and he says, Lord, reveal yourself to me as the bread of life. Man can't tell you about it. See, I can get up here and I feel like an idiot trying to communicate spiritual things. I can't. I can tell you he's the bread of life and you say, oh, he's the bread of life. The Holy Spirit must reveal to your heart in terms of your need that Christ is the food of life. He's the altogether lovely one. Has he ever been revealed to you that way? He's the wisdom of God. Title of Christ. His name shall be called Wonderful. Counselor. You ever know him as a counselor? They were so busy running the human counselors, we don't know anything about this. Have you ever come before God in so many words and said, reveal yourself as counselor? I need counsel. That's what the Holy Spirit will do. He's the bridegroom of your soul. It's not enough to know that. Has he ever revealed that to your heart? The bridegroom of your soul. And we can go on and on with all of these. This is just one of the ways that you'll know Jesus. When he reveals himself in terms of his titles. It's not enough to read that he's the messenger of the new covenant. Has he ever revealed it to your heart that he's the messenger of the new covenant? You see, in the day of Revelation, in the day when you come like this, then he'll reveal him as the messenger of the new covenant, and then you'll just take it by faith. Oh, and what a change that'll make in your life. When God reveals Christ as the plant of renown, when God reveals Christ as the Prince of Peace, that's not cold theology. That's not some detached system or creed. This is life. See, it's so easy to just say the words. Christ is my surety. Has he ever been revealed as your surety? See, all these titles, and hundreds more. I just mentioned a few. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of titles. And the only reason God ever put them in the Bible is to introduce his Son and the great variety of his dealings with you in terms of those titles. He's the Lamb of God. That takes away the sin of the... He's the God of all comfort. Has he ever revealed himself that way? See? He's the great physician. He's the Heavenly Father that has all your hairs in line, that knows when the robin, when the sparrow falls to the ground. It's not enough to read those things. Has God the Holy Spirit ever revealed His Son in terms of His titles? All right, that's one of the ways we'll look at it. Now, all the Greek and Hebrew and Aramaic in the world is not going to help you with this. It's the Holy Spirit. No human being can explain what it means that Christ is God's unspeakable gift. Has the Holy Spirit ever revealed Him to you as the unspeakable gift? Precious cornerstone. That's His words, right? Until He becomes your precious cornerstone by acquaintance. Until the Holy Spirit reveals it. So the Holy Spirit takes the titles of Christ and makes me know Christ in the experimental reality of all that those titles imply. Everything that's included in those words, He reveals to my soul. So we're in the ocean already, and that's only one way He reveals Himself. I'm going to name five more ways besides the titles. And I'm only naming six because I'm not qualified to give the other 10 that I could mention. I might just give you the list at the end. And you can explore it yourself. And that's the only ones I know about, and I'm sure there's other ways I can't mention. Alright? Second way Christ revealed Himself. By His attributes. The Bible's full of this. Every place you read, you see some attribute of God. You read of His spirituality. You read of His eternity. You read of His transcendence, of His omnipotence, of His omnipresence, of His immutability, of His sovereignty, of His justice, of His love, of His mercy, of His grace, of His goodness, of His holiness, of His kindness. Every place you turn in the book, you're going to find some different attribute of God. Somebody's laughing. Did I spell that wrong? Did that spell it right? The attributes of God. It's illustrated on every page. You read the lives of some of these Bible saints, and you see the attributes of God. Again, I'm not trying to play Holy Spirit, and I'm not trying to make theologians out of you, and I'm not saying, do you know the 14 attributes of God, or however many there are. I believe there's millions of attributes. He might have only put 15 or 25 in the book, because that's all we can handle. But you can't tell me that an infinite God doesn't have an infinite amount of attributes. I know He does. Attributes we couldn't even conceive now. He's not trying to make us be able to recite the attributes or give a definition of each one. These are just little arrows to get you put in the right direction. And as you come to the Bible God's way to be taught of God, He's engineered your circumstances in such a way that nothing but an attribute of God would do you any good. And you come to the Lord and you need a faithful God. And He reveals His Son as the faithful God. Boy, I tell you, when Christ is revealed that way, sometimes you feel so all alone. And He reveals Himself as the omnipresent God, that He's right there. And though you've lost the sense of His presence, the fact of His presence remains. It's not enough to tell you that. The Holy Spirit has to convince your spirit of that, your heart of that, not your mind. Your heart. It's a spiritual thing. It's a miracle that takes place every time you come to this book, where God illuminates the book, shines upon it, breathes upon it, gives you a revelation of the revelation, and convinces your heart beyond all dispute that Jesus Christ is, in terms of these attributes, all that He claims to be. Then you'll come and you'll say, while others are quoting theology and drawing charts on what's going to happen in the future, you'll have come to know your God. And you'll be walking with your God. And you'll know Him in His titles and you'll know Him in His attributes. And when someone else gets all hung up about some polity in the church and church organization and all that kind of stuff, you'll be knowing God as the wise one. As the one that controls all your circumstances, the sovereign one. You'll have been introduced to Him and acquainted with Him and personally walking with Him as one who controls all your circumstances, so that by the time they reach you, they've already been filtered through His fingers. And it's become God's will for your life.
And in a moment of time, he's eternally considered every possibility and every probability and brought into your life only the very best. And that's walking with God. And only the Holy Spirit can teach you. And he'll do it through the attributes of Christ. He'll not only reveal Christ through his titles and through his attributes, but also through his offices. The Bible's full of this as well. He'll show you, he'll introduce you to Christ in terms of the offices he holds. See, we read that Christ is a Savior and a priest and a shepherd and an advocate and a prophet and a king and a Lord and a friend and a mediator of a new covenant. All those are offices that he holds, and he'll meet you there. And so there's so many ways, and we haven't even begun to touch this book. He's going to show you Christ. He won't show you anything else, only his Son. And he'll use all of the Bible to illustrate his own Son. You'll not only be able to conclude, oh, I've read the Bible and Jesus is a shepherd. Well, big deal. Unless you can say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me. He restored me. He's with me. See? That's what the Holy Spirit does. It's not enough to know he's a shepherd. He'll show your heart that he's your shepherd and that you'll never want. And nobody's going to convince you intellectually of that. The Holy Spirit reveals his Son that way, so you say, yes, I lay hold of Christ. He's my shepherd. And I walk with him and he gives me pasture and he leads me by the still waters. Not theology. Not religion. But the very testimony of your life. This is in fact what he does. I tell you, no man can get that through. No book can get that through. That's a revelation of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. He'll reveal himself through his titles. He'll reveal himself through his attributes. He'll reveal himself through his offices. You trying to think ahead? What's next? Then with you. He'll reveal himself by the many, 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 many descriptions that are given of him in the Bible. He's your buckler and the horn of your salvation. He's your shield. He's your rock. He's your fortress. Oh, so many of the superlatives. He's the one who holds the oceans in the palm of his hand. He's the one that measures out the heaven with a span, weighs the mountains in the dust of the balance. He's the one that regards the inhabitants of the earth as grasshoppers. He's the one who sees in the darkness. Let me throw a big word at you. Some of the descriptions God will use are called anthropomorphisms. How about that for a word? It's just the Greek word anthropology. Anthropos, which means man. An anthropomorphism. Gee, God is a spirit. Does the spirit have a hand? Does the spirit have an eye? Does the spirit have a foot? Not as we know it. So what he does is he condescends and he takes on that which man has in order to drive home some truth. So he says, I'll guide you with my eye and I'll hold you with my right hand and I'll walk with you. And he describes his God. He accommodates the great Lord Jesus to our weakness and he brings him down to our level. And he describes him with a seeing ear. He says he has wings and he'll shelter you under his wings. And he'll bear you up on eagle's wings. You'll see him as a lion. You'll see him as a bear. You'll see him as a serpent. You'll see him as a lamb slain. You'll see him as a mother hen that longs to have you under his wings. You'll see him as a storm, as a fire, as wind, as bread, as water, as milk, as wine, as honey. All these descriptions. Why does he put them in there? Because each one shows you something different about your Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit just takes this title and says, that's what you need. Let me show you Jesus in terms of that title. Let me show you Jesus in terms of that attribute. Let me show you Jesus in terms of this office. Let me show you Jesus in terms of this description. And then you've only begun to touch his book. Because the Holy Spirit is almost ransacking creation. I've got so much more of Jesus to show you. So he said, let's try this. Spirit reveals Christ by His mighty acts. Familiar with them? Creation. Redemption. Oh, how much of Christ you'll know as you study the cross. As you study His stooping love, His virgin birth, His sinless life, the great acts of God, His resurrection, His ascension. His session at the right hand of God right now. He's coming again, and you'll be able to see the mighty acts of God. And God will reveal His Son through that. Lastly, let me just mention it.
And time goes about.
He'll reveal His Son to you in His dealings with others. This is one of the main ways that the Holy Spirit will be revealed to you. See, He's the same in every age. He never changes. You'll watch the prodigal son come home, and you'll muster courage. You'll see how He dealt with David after his sin, and how He dealt with Peter after his denial. You'll see how He reinstated them all. You'll see how He provided needs, and how He walked on the stormy sea. How He healed the broken hearts, how He set the captives free. How He put a song in the heart. You'll study all these histories. You'll study the Old Testament, move that. How did God meet with them? How did He deliver them out of this circumstance? How did God do this? And you'll study the histories of the Bible, and you'll say, wow, that's my God. That's how He does it for me. And the Holy Spirit will reveal Christ in terms of the thousands of stories in the Bible. How He did it then, how He does it now. He doesn't change. And I only mentioned six ways. I didn't mention the types, and I didn't mention the prophecies, and I didn't mention so many other ways. I got them listed. I'll give them to you next time. Here our key verse says, they shall all be taught of God, and everyone that's learned from the Father comes to me. God only has one thing to teach us in this book. Until we come with a passion to see that, you'll never understand this book. He just wants to show you Jesus. Oh my, what a book! It will become alive. It will be on fire when you let the Holy Spirit reveal His Son. Any comments or questions about this? What we'll do is just take two or three illustrations from each one. The skimpy things that I've learned so far by revelation. It's not much. You could probably add a lot more that you've learned. And then I don't have anything else to say. That's it. That's what it means to be taught of God. All right, let's bow.
Our Father, we do thank Thee for this book. And that there's not nine things we have to know. Just one. Just Thy dear Son. We know, Lord, with what an infinite longing Thy Holy Spirit longs to communicate Him. As we study this book together corporately and as we study it privately, may we be taught of God. We know everyone that's taught of God comes to Jesus. Work that in our hearts, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.